Let the torch of freedom burn.
Welcome to Wall Builders Live. This is the intersection of faith and the culture. Today we're looking at some of our hottest topics going on right now in the culture. We're looking at them from a biblical, a historical, and a constitutional perspective. We're here with David Barton. He's America's premier historian and the founder of Wall Builders. Also, Tim Barton. He's a national speaker and author. And my name's Rick Green, former Texas state representative. Later in the program, we're going to have a special guest with us, Virginia Prudhon, and her book, Saving My Assassin, incredible story of how she grew up in a brutal communist regime and some of the things that she did there as an attorney that took her away from being in the elite class to actually being an enemy of the state. Incredible changes. Now U.S. citizen, and going to get her story and talk about her new book as well. David, Tim, I think we're a little spoiled. We forget that the rest of the world is not like the United States, and most people haven't been blessed. Most people that ever lived on the planet haven't enjoyed anywhere near the freedom that we get to enjoy here.
Rick, you're right. They really haven't. Let me go back for a second. You mentioned the title of her book, Saving My Assassin. So clearly the implication is at some point someone tried to assassinate her.
Yeah.
Which hopefully we get to hear some of those details in the interview, which certainly living in a communistic state, that is something that is not far-fetched. If you remember just, a month or two ago when that leader of North Korea and Kim, and I can't even remember how to pronounce his last name, but when he executed the leader of his education department because he wasn't paying attention or didn't sit up straight during one of the meetings.
Yes, slouching.
Yeah, oh my goodness. And so, hey, let's kill this guy. He slouched during my, what in the world? But in communism, it's.
But wait, Tim, that's a great article for parents to now use at dinners. Say, kids, you need to sit up. I'm not sorry.
Because there's precedent.
Tip.
If you don't, we will kill you.
Yeah.
No, we don't want to go there. Right. But, in communist nations, there's not the value of life.
That's right.
But to the point that you made, we have enjoyed such a level of freedom, such a level of stability, such a level of prosperity, so many things in this nation that we tend to take for granted that if you talk to someone that's an immigrant from one of the, especially a communist nation or one of these third world nations, they will tell you how incredible this nation is, how we cannot embrace these ideas of socialism, communism, stay away from it, how bad it is. Few people have ever enjoyed what we've enjoyed in America, and too often we just take it for granted because we've become so accustomed to these blessings, not realizing how unique it is.
That's why it's so cool to hear stories of people that went through the opposite, and they appreciate now living in America how much freedom we have. But we need to hear these stories in order for us to appreciate it and have a grateful attitude and be willing to fight to keep the freedom we've got.
Well, imagine, her position is pretty incredible by itself because she was from Romania, and she was in Romania at the time that is part of the Soviet Communist bloc, and she was in Romania under Ceausescu. Now, there is a brutal dictator for you, and she happens to be an international human rights attorney defending religious liberty. Try doing that under Ceausescu in Romania. That's no wonder she had an assassin coming after, was trying to defend folks for what he himself was trying to do. He was just in line with what the Soviet Union and other dictatorships were doing at the time. But, for her to be there and see that and now be an American citizen and be here, she pretty good at warning us about, hey, I've been here. I've seen this. I know what this leads to. I'm telling you, this is not where you want to go. This is the beginning of the movement that brought us down. She's just a good clarion voice of warning, not to mention she has a really intriguing story to go with it.
Virginia Prudhon, she's the author of Saving My Assassin. She'll be right here on Wall Builders Live when we return in a moment. If you ever wonder if it's over for America, can we restore those constitutional principles that made our nation great, then we want to encourage you. We want to show you some evidence of how it can be done. We want to show you the evidence behind what made America great in the first place. And we want to have some fun while we're doing it. It's called Chasing American Legends. It's our special television program that follows the Green family around the nation, investigating myths and legends about America. And it's amazing what we have found and what we've discovered. Dove Channel is now airing Chasing American Legends. We want you to check it out. We've got a link today at wallbuilderslive.com so you can find out more about Chasing American Legends. Airing now on the Dove Channel, we're going to take you and march with the Minutemen for the reenactment of April 19, 1775. That shot heard around the world. Take you to investigate the battles that George Washington was in. All kinds of great episodes. Check it out right now at dovechannel.com. Give our family a chance to inspire yours. We know we can give you some hope of the future of our nation. Check it out. Chasing American Legends at dovechannel.com.
Hi, this is Tim Barton with Wall Builders. And I want to encourage all the pastors out there with the unique opportunity that we're presenting at Wall Builders. We're doing a special tour just for pastors that you can come and learn more about the spiritual heritage of our nation. Not just seeing the sites, but understanding the significance of what they are and what they represent. We get to go through the Capitol at night, and we get to see the spiritual heritage of our founding fathers, of who we are as a nation, where we came from. We bring in congressmen that'll tell you about current legislation, about our religious liberties and freedom, and what's going on in Washington, D.C. If you're a pastor, or if you want to recommend your pastor for this trip, you can go to our website, www.wallbuilders.com, and there's a link that's for scheduling. If you click on that link, there's a section for pastor's briefing. There's more information about the dates, when it's going, how it's going to happen. If you want to know more about our nation, our religious liberties, our freedom, our spiritual heritage, this is a trip you want to be a part of.
Welcome back. Thanks for staying with us here on Wall Builders Live. Our guest today is the author of Saving My Assassin. Virginia Pradhan is with us. Virginia, it's great to have you on.
Thank you.
Hey, I really appreciate your time, and your story is absolutely amazing. You and I have had the chance to visit over the last year a little bit about it, and talked about the book coming out, and so excited, and want to send people to your website today as well, virginiapradhanbooks.com. We'll have a link to make it easy so people can go straight from wallbuilderslive.com to there. But the book's also available at Amazon and Christian bookstores all over the country. Your story, phenomenal. First of all, just the fact that you're an international human rights attorney, that you've been working with Alliance Defending Freedom, and all the things that you do for religious liberty and for helping people around the world. Just want to say thanks. I mean, you're on the front lines.
Thank you. Thank you so much. We all have to be on front lines.
Yep. No doubt about it. Now, you came to the U.S. in what year?
1988, November 14.
Okay, so give us a little bit of the background. I mean, having grown up in a brutal communist regime and been a young attorney there, tell us what happened to you as you were learning. Well, tell us about the life-changing event that happened to you first that made you want to defend Christians.
Well, for the entire life, like everyone else, I was born with a hunger for truth and freedom. But I was born in communist Romania. And as a child growing up under a communist regime, I knew nothing but fear and lies. Mm-hmm. And from young age, I realized that even though our entire life revolved around our leader who declared himself God and asked everyone to worship him, and his word was the law, I noticed my parents being very obedient, good citizens outside in the public area, but inside of the home, I heard them several times whispering and expressing their feelings about the communist government who was taking their freedom every single day more and more. So for that reason, a desire to find the truth and speak out for the truth started to burn in my heart. And when I grew up, I decided to go to law school, thinking that going to law school, I'm going to find the truth in pages of the law book. Unfortunately, I work and work and work for a few years, and I realized that I cannot find the truth in those books. But I had the opportunity to have a client who invited me to church, to his church, and I heard the gospel, and I accepted Christ as the Lord and Savior. And with that, I also accepted his calling to defend Christians. And I started to defend Christians in human rights cases against dictator Ceausescu. What I did as a lawyer under communists, we were supposed or expected by the communist government to be loyal to the communist government and to betray the Romanian people. when God put on my heart to defend Christians, I realized that that was my calling, and I put myself at risk protecting them, but also speaking up for the truth.
Once you started doing that, I mean, you became essentially an enemy of the government.
Yes, that is true. Instead of being an elite, because when you are the communist and you are a lawyer, you're supposed to protect the government, you are an elite, and you benefit of all the benefits that the government thinks that gives you, but in the same time keeps you in chain to do what they ask you to do. From that time, when I started to defend Christians, I was labeled as a dissident, and I was under surveillance, daily interrogated, beaten, tortured, threatened. But when God gives you something, he gives you the power and the strength to do. He's with you, and that's what the Lord did through me.
So now tell me, do you want to share some of the story of your assassin on the air? Do you want to encourage people to go read the book to get that part?
I will share some of the story. Like I said, the government put me for years under surveillance, house arrest, threatened, did all kind of things. But in the same time, God had a wonderful protection prepared for me. When I was in the courtroom defending Christians and facing the judge and the prosecutor and presenting the cases and winning them, because we had laws in books that protected freedom of speech and freedom of religion, that they were never changed from the capitalist era. And the reason the dictator never changed them, I found out in the interrogation room, because they told me to stop using those laws, and they explained that those laws were there only for the American government and the Western, and special for the American government to give Romania the most favored national status. But I told them that I'm not going to stop. I'm going to continue to do, because I believe that was my job. So they continued to threaten and do all kind of things until one day they decided to send a killer to my house, unknown to me. During that time in America, the Congress was ready to take away the most favored national status, because God gave me a special assignment, and people will be able to read in the book. It was so risky, but I did what the Lord asked me to do, and I exposed Ceausescu's government, that even though he promised the American people that he will respect the human rights and religious rights, after everything was exposed, he continued to do and lie to the American people. And for that reason, the Congress decided to take away the most favored nation. But I didn't know at that time. We didn't have access to television outside of Romania. So for that reason, dictator decided to kill me. So he sent a killer to my office in the name of a new client, and he pointed a gun towards me and told me that he was there to kill me.
Mm.
But I am not dead, and he is not dead, and the story is absolutely amazing, and the reader will find out not only that even our enemies are in our lives, so God can change them, not only us, and can change the course of their actions and also the course of a country.
Not only was your life saved, but ultimately your assassin's life,
yes,
saved as well. No better place to leave people in suspense than right there, Virginia. Incredible. The book is called Saving My Assassin. We're going to have links today at wallbuilderslive.com, so folks can go to and get the book at your website, and we want to give that website out again as well, virginiaprodonbooks.com, and you can also pick up this particular book at Amazon and Christian bookstores everywhere. Virginia, before I let you go, just one word of encouragement from you to us as fellow Americans of how important it is to preserve what we have. You've seen what it's like to lose these,
yes,
freedoms.
Yes, I have been here for almost 28 years in America, and I had seen American people from outside of America, from Romania, and I have been an American citizen and living among American people for a very long time. There is no people, there is no nation like the American people. The most generous, the most courageous, the most the people that brought freedom and Christ all over the world. The problem is that American people never had a government, a hostile government. But we have the same God who is with us and for us. And I want to say to the American people that there is no freedom without God.
Amen.
God is our source of freedom. God is our source of courage and determination. He has a job for each one of us, not only for me, for each one of us. And he said, if my people, so the solution for America, it's us, each one of us. I fought against communists in Romania, and God used me, one person, under 5 feet tall, to change not only my killer, but also to change Romania. Romania is a free country, can worship God, kids can go to school and worship God. For us, now in America, it's just a test. It's up to us. Do we want to follow God and fear God, or do we want to fear people? If we follow God, God will change us and will change America for him. So the solution is very simple. Do what God is asking you to do, because each one of us, we have a job and we have an appointment that God wants to perform it through us. He prepared everything that we have to walk into. And America will be safe if we, as Christians, we live and we do God's will.
Oh, so powerful. So powerful, folks. You got to check out the book. And by the way, you spell Prodan, P-R-O-D-A-N. So Virginia Prodan Books. .com. And also book her to speak. Get her to come share this inspiration with your group as well. Virginia, God bless you. Thank you so much for your time today.
Thank you so much, Rick. I appreciate so much your work.
Stay with us, folks. We'll be right back with David and Tim Barton.
This is David Barton with another moment from America's history. Shortly after the American Revolution, America had become the envy of the world. It still remains a wonder of the modern world as 219 years later, America has become the longest ongoing constitutional republic in the history of the world. What was the foundation upon which our founding fathers established this great nation? According to John Adams, the foundation was Christianity. John Adams declared, "The general principles on which the fathers achieved independence were the general principles of Christianity. Now I will avow that I then believed and now believe that those general principles of Christianity are as eternal and immutable as the existence and attributes of God." According to Founding Father John Adams, it was the principles of Christianity which formed the foundation for American government.
For more information on God's hand in American history, contact Wall Builders at 1-800-8-REBUILD.
Welcome back to Wall Builders Live. Thanks for staying with us. We're back now with David and Tim. And guys, we definitely left it on a cliffhanger. So folks got to go read the book to find out the details. But incredible story, and just thrilled to be able to bring that to our listeners and remind them how precious freedom truly is.
Yeah, it is precious. And I love so many of the lines she had. One of the things she said that really struck me is, there is no nation like the American nation. Now, that's what you get from people from the outside who come here, not from those who have been here for a while. We have, when the Supreme Court goes out of session in June, they don't come back until October. The justices often travel the world and talk about various things to other legal groups. And so you've got Justice Ginsburg going around saying, hey, you other nations, you're coming up to a constitution. Don't copy the American Constitution. She says, copy the South African Constitution. Really? You want to be like South Africa more than America? Well, she's on the Supreme Court. She is trying to move us that direction. And then you've got Justice Breyer, who just came out with a book saying, hey, we got to get rid of the Constitution. We got to be like all the other nations. For people who've lived their whole life here, they disdain America. Plus, if you've been through education, and I've been appointed in a number of states by state boards of education governors to do their history and social studies standards, and in the state of Oklahoma, when I was appointed there by the state superintendent of education, I was up there working with teachers, and as we were going through the high school standards, I said, all right, let's make sure that our kids understand that America is special. Let's make sure we point out that we've only had one constitution since 1789, and in that same period of time, France has had 15, and Brazil has had 23. Just went through the numbers, said, we're different. There's something special here. And the teachers on that panel, they went through and said, no way. We're not going to teach our kids that America is special. What do you think? That's in Oklahoma. I'm not talking Massachusetts or Delaware or Rhode Island. We're talking Oklahoma. And the teachers there said, no way. And so Tim and I have both been assaulted by professors who say, American exceptionalism, that's really terrible. There's nothing exceptional about America. And so here you've got this being dumped into the brains of our kids on a regular basis.
And by the way, generally the people that don't like America are academics or Muslims, which, I mean, it's really interesting because as we talk about immigrants really appreciate America. And when they come to America, they love America. Well, that's true, unless maybe you're a Syrian refugee that Obama's moved in. I mean, some of these people that we're seeing all the time in the news.
And by the way, let me interrupt there. I think when we were in Congress a couple of weeks ago, I think they told us that they counted and there were 53 Christians that came in with immigration last year out of Syria. All the rest of them, however many hundred thousand there were not Christians. And so Obama's moving in entire Somali communities and other things. But out of Syria, however many we let in, only 53 Christians came in that wave. So we're filling America with people who don't like us. And as you said, academics as well.
Well, yeah, it's just a fraction of a single percent of Christians that we moved in from Syria. But it's interesting because as you see in the news and you see these bombs going off and these mass attacks and these murders, and it's by people that hate America. And it's interesting that when you start looking at people that hate America, there really is a very small elite category, and it's elite whether it's academics or whether it's
these
Muslim
really
nations.
But they're really influential. They're influential.
Well, there's no doubt it is. But when you get an immigrant who does not have this bias of Islam, of ISIS, of the Quran, what they do is look at America and go, this is amazing. You guys have what we have always wanted. And too often we don't hear that from voices, because the voices that have the ability to be heard, to communicate, are usually your very left-leaning, left-wing commentators, or it's academics, or it's these Muslims that are being given a voice by so many people. It's not the traditional immigrants from other nations that literally just want a better life for themselves.
Yeah.
Muslims don't come to America because they want a better life for themselves. They come for conquest. They come because they want to make America Muslim, not because they're looking for a better life. When people are looking for a better life and you go, what nation can I go to and have a better life? America's the top destination. If you want a better life, a better standard of living, if you want the opportunity to become more than what you are in your nation, America's the place you come. And we just don't hear that today unless you talk to someone, for example, that we just did, Virginia, who says, this is an incredible place.
And this is something you need to know, because your kids are not getting this. Even in red states like Oklahoma, this is something that even the academics aren't necessarily pushing anymore. So not only do we get this from teachers, by the way, let me just comment on something Tim said. You know, Colin Kaepernick, when he was starting quarterback for San Francisco 49ers, he had no difficulty with the national anthem. Stood for it, was there all the time. And now that he's dating a Muslim girl and she's trying to convert him to Islam, suddenly he can't stand for the national anthem anymore.
Hmm.
He can't do so. That mentality, I mean, there's so much influence. But the other thing she said I really love, she said, I came to Christ and I accepted his call to defend freedom. And that really struck me, defend freedom. And she did that legally, but I started thinking about Bible verses and defending freedom and proclaiming freedom, proclaiming liberty. You know, John Jay, the Chief Justice of the U.S. Supreme Court that wrote the Federalist Papers, one of the three authors of Federalist Papers, he said you have to read and study the Constitution of your country and teach the rising generation to be free. That's that defending freedom, proclaiming freedom, read and study the Constitution, teach the next generation to be free. Man, we've been free in America for so long, we don't know how to teach them to be free because we just had it. We just take it for granted. It's part of our atmosphere. But I was looking at scriptures in Isaiah 61, repeated in Luke 4, 18, 19. It says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because the Lord hath anointed me to proclaim liberty. There's that thing of defending, teaching freedom. Leviticus 25, 10. That's the verse on the Liberty Bell. Proclaim liberty throughout the land to all the inhabitants thereof. That's what we ought to be doing. Jeremiah 34, 8. This is the word that came unto Jeremiah from the Lord, to proclaim liberty. Galatians 5, 1. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ has made you free. Don't be entangled again with the yoke of bondage, which is what academia and other things are trying to do right now in the way we view the nation. 2 Corinthians 3, 17. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. I mean, there's just so many things that we, as Americans, we should be defending liberty on a regular, routine basis. We should be teaching the next generation to be free. And man, we're just letting this small percentage change the whole tone of how we look at America.
And you know what's interesting? As we talk about freedom, America was founded as a nation for freedom. This was the reason that immigrants came to America, was because they wanted freedom. Now, predominantly, it was religious freedom. It was the rights of religious conscience. But they wanted freedom where they weren't having someone compel and coerce and force them to do something. So when our founding fathers set up our nation, they set it up, they established it so we could be a free people. George Washington says that if we are going to maintain in this nation, he says religion and morality are indispensable supports. He says we cannot function without religion and morality. And there's a reason. Well, John Adams says our Constitution was made only for a moral and a religious people. The founding fathers continued with this theme of morality and religion. In fact, a president, Zachary Taylor, said that a free government cannot exist without religion and morals. There cannot be morals without religion, nor religion without the Bible. He says if we're going to be free, we have to have religion and morality, but you only find that in the Bible. Now, why do we keep pointing to religion and morality, and specifically through the Bible? Because freedom only works if you have a level of morality, but you only have morality through religion. I mean, that's really where the basis of your morals comes from.
And not just any religion, through Bible religion.
And the reason, the Bible, by the way, is what is the highest standard of morality?
Yeah.
It's found in the Bible. If you look at all the religions, where is the greatest value placed on individuals? Placed on, well, it's only in Christianity, only the Bible, that teaches that you are made, we are made in the image of God. That's only found in the Bible. So Judaism, so the Judeo-Christian ethic, that is where this idea comes from. The likeness of God. This is the highest standard of morality with Christianity. God wants us to be free, but freedom is only found in Christianity, which, by the way, is one of the things Virginia said. Without God, there is no freedom. Freedom is found in Christ. And if we want to be free in America, we've got to turn back to those biblical principles.
Check out our website there, virginiaprudhonbooks.com. Also, just recommend a book, another book called Pursuing Liberty. We had Corey Emerson on several years back of 12 stories of immigrants that came here and found freedom, and compare that to where they came from. Just great reminders for all of us to be thankful for what we have and to fight for this freedom and protect it for the next generation. Thanks for listening today to Wall Builders Live.
We stand undivided, forever united.